Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. It's good to see everyone this morning. I'm Pastor Scott. If you're new to our fellowship, welcome. It's good to have you. We are in Luke chapter 15. If you are not already there, can you please turn there in your Bibles? Luke chapter 15, verses 11. Kyle read it earlier for us. This will be a two-part series. Next week we'll talk about the older son, but this morning we're talking about the younger son. And I want to start by telling a little story. In 2012, a man living in Syracuse, New York, realized that he had been swindled out of $5 million. The man had gone to a local convenience store to cash in a lottery ticket. Now, he didn't know how much the lottery ticket was worth. He didn't even know if he had won or not. He just walked in there and handed the ticket to the convenience store owner and said, you know, did I win anything? To which the convenience store owner said, yeah, you won $5,000. He had actually won $5 million. He said, $5,000. Here, let me tell you, what I might do for you, though, is if you allow me to pay you $4,000 of that $5,000, you would basically not have to deal with the hassle of all the taxes and fees. And so the man, not realizing he had actually won $5 million, took $4,000 and walked out of the store. 6 years later, the convenience store owner took the ticket at the last minute to the lottery offices, last minute hours, you know, trying to sneak in there. He waited 6 years to do this because he knew what he had done was wrong. But he decided he's going to cash it in that day, waited till the last minute, and he handed it over to the lottery officers, and he said basically, I don't want all of it because I don't want to deal with all the news press releases, the conferences. You know, could you just give me maybe a portion of that, and then we'll call it square. Well, this immediately concerned the lottery officials. They felt a little suspicious about that, so they decided to do the opposite of the man's request, and they did release the press release. They did the big news conference, and the end result was the guy who originally had the ticket saw it on the news and came forward. And at that point, the owner of the convenience store and his brother, who was also in on it, were arrested for fraud. This man was swindled out of $5 million. And the question this morning that I want to ask us is, how often have we been swindled in the past? Have you ever been swindled? Have you ever been sold a poor product, poor sales, poor service, anything like that? You remember how you feel after you received that product and you were not, in fact, satisfied with what you ended up receiving? This morning, we're talking about this famous passage called the prodigal son. And at the heart of it is this idea that all of us have been swindled. All of us have been spiritually swindled. Our hearts have told us one thing, and we have chased after that heart's desire only to feel nothing but dissatisfaction, only to be left stranded, to be left holding a bag of nothing. This morning, our central truth is that in contrast to everything that the world tries to sell us, it is God the Father's love for his children that is infinite and eternal. This is something that we can bank on. This truth is something that we can put our entire life into. God the Father's love for his children is eternal and infinite. We read in this very first verse that there was a man who had two sons. There was a father who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. The younger of them, the boy, who's probably in his teens. This guy's not married yet. And in that culture, that meant he was probably a younger guy. So this young teenager guy goes to his father and he commands him, it's an imperative, give me the share of property. What does that mean? The share of my property. In this day and age, the inheritance was divided among the children, but the firstborn would end up getting a double portion. In this case, because there were two sons, the older son would get 2/3, the younger son would get 1/3. And that was because in that day and age, they ascribed worth to their elders, and part of the responsibility of the oldest son was to provide for the rest of the family in the father's absence then. Therefore, he got a double portion for the purpose of providing for the family at large. This son goes to the father, and he basically commands him, give me my share. What should we see in this demand? Two things. First, it showed arrogance, right? The father wasn't dead yet. The son was demanding his inheritance. But more importantly, it showed an audacious lack of reverence and respect for the father. Because think about this. When does one receive an inheritance? When the father, when the mother dies. In this culture, this son's demand basically was a statement to the effect of, you're dead to me. In a culture where family was everything, this was a brazen slap across the father's face, basically saying, you're dead to me. Give me what is owed me. And yet, think about how the father responds. And he divided his property between them. We don't know everything, but it does make you wonder, why did the father do it, right? Why did the father just acquiesce? What was he feeling? What was he thinking? It does make us wonder why the father did it. He gives the son this request. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took it on a journey into a far country. Not many days later. You see, this younger son had already formatted a plan in his head. What was the plan? He was going to gather all that he had, all that he had received, cash it all in, and take it with him into a far away country. He took a journey. Not only was he severing his relationship with his father, he was severing his relationship with his entire family. He was leaving behind his entire cultural identity, leaving his land, leaving his home, and going into another one. He was leaving it all behind, his entire life. And so what was going on in the mind of the younger son? What was going on in his heart to do such a thing? Well, the younger son's heart was deceived. The younger son thought he could find something that he wasn't already experiencing in his father's home. The younger son thought that he could receive and find something in the far country, out there, that he wasn't already receiving in full in the home of his father. And why didn't the father try arguing with the son? Because there's no use trying to argue with someone's heart when the heart has already made its mind up. Have you ever tried to argue with someone who's already made up their mind? What do our arguments do in that case? It just entrenches people into their already decided destiny. Only God can change a heart, church. And here's the truth this morning, friend. You and I are this younger son. You and I do the same thing all the time. Our deceitful hearts constantly long for the far country, thinking that we do not have our fill in God's home in the present reality. Our hearts deceive us, and they long for something out there to fill us of this so-called void. We are the younger son, listening to the voices of the far country. We turn a deaf ear to the love of the Father, to the one who has loved us from the very beginning. We turn our ears from that love to the loud, seductive voices of the world, these voices that promise us life but only bring death. You and I are the younger son who set our eyes on the far country, seeking to find something that will satisfy all of our needs. feel loved, to feel valued, to feel fulfilled. But all the while, running away from the only one who can truly satisfy. As the pinnacle of all creation, mankind reflects God's glory. Remember what we are taught in Genesis? In the very beginning, in creation, God said of men and women, it is what? It is very good. Everything else just got the thumbs up good, right? But when God created man, he said, it is very good. In creation, God made men and women in his what? Image. We are uniquely made in God's image. We reflect him. My dog doesn't reflect God. It's very cute. But it doesn't reflect God. It's the third smartest dog in the dog species. But it is not as smart as the all-knowing Lord of the universe. In creation, God gave men and women a unique identity. Apart from all other creation, we have this unique identity that we've been given, and it is to have intimate relationship with Creator. Our pets don't have that. But we have been given this. We were created to fellowship with the Lord of the universe, and yet Adam and Eve somehow doubted. Somehow they doubted God's intimate love for them. They came to believe that God was withholding on them something. They listened to a voice and somehow thought that God was withholding good. They listened to that voice and basically internalized, God doesn't love me like he should. And like Adam and Eve, we too often feel that God has somehow withheld his love for us. That there's something out there that's hidden from us, that he's hidden it from us selfishly. There's something that we're missing out on out there. Instead of resting in the identity that the Creator gave us, our hearts deceive us, and we believe that we must create instead our identity. Instead of trusting in the one that the Creator gave us, we're constantly trying to create our own identity. And so we lead the Father to find what our deceitful hearts have convinced us we don't already have. We look at the far country. Our hearts go there. And our feet try to catch up. The younger son gathered all he had, all that the father had given him, by the way, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he did what? He squandered his property in reckless living. You know, we often refer to this passage as the prodigal son, thinking that the word prodigal means lost son. Prodigal means wasteful son. He took everything that the father had given him, thinking that it was his now, and he went off to the far country and squandered it. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Friends, we are the younger son. Our hearts constantly deceive us into longing for the far country, but the far country never satisfies. The promises of life bring death. The promises of success bring disappointment. The promises of pleasure end up bringing misery. The euphoria doesn't last. It just leaves us in greater need for the next adrenaline rush. And so he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. Left with nothing, he ends up hiring himself out as a servant, a slave. And this individual that he hired himself out, sends him into the field to feed pigs. And he was longing, see, his longing is now different. He used to be on the far country, on what was promised to him, but now his longing is just to be fed with the same food that he is currently feeding the pigs. And yet no one gives him anything. He hired himself closely. He joined himself. He clung to this individual from a strange land. He forsake the most intimate relationship that he had with his father to cling to identify, to associate himself with this foreigner. He left home and father. He rejected identity. See, to feed pigs back then was a super no-no in the Jewish culture. In the Jewish culture, you couldn't even touch a pig. It was like so bad, so taboo. You would have been unclean for over a week. You couldn't worship in the temple because you touched a pig. It was unclean. Completely taboo, over the top. But he's not just feeding pigs and touching them. He's caring for them. He's in the mud with them. He's in the mire with them. And you know what's in the mud of a pig pen, right? He's living with the pigs. And now, not only is he feeding the pigs, he's longing for what the pigs eat. So he was longing for what the celebrities ate. Now he's longing for what the pigs eat. The far country church never satisfies. The voices lie. The sinful heart deceives us. And we end up learning the hard way. We hit rock bottom. Or in this case, we hit the mud and the mire. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" Oh, how the tables have turned. This younger son leaves the home of his father to travel to the far country. His heart has deceived him because the far country never satisfies, church. He left father. He left identity. He has nothing. Everyone liked him when he had something to offer them, right? But now, when he has nothing to offer them, they all abandon him. What a contrast in studies, because listen to this. Out of love, the father did what? Out of love, the father gave the son everything. And yet the son abandoned him. In order to gain love, the son gave away everything, and yet the people abandoned him. Church, the Father loves unconditionally. The world loves conditionally. Henry Nguyen said, "The world says, 'Yes, I love you if you are good-looking, intelligent, and wealthy. I love you if you have a good education, a good job, a good connection. I love you if you produce much, if you sell much, and if you buy much.' There are endless ifs hidden in the world's love. These ifs enslave me, since it is impossible to respond adequately to all of them. The world's love is and always will be conditional. As long as I keep looking for my true self in the world of conditional love, I will remain hooked to the world, trying, failing, and trying again. It is a world that fosters addictions because what it offers cannot satisfy the deepest cravings of my heart." The world loves conditionally, but the Father loves unconditionally. And yet we chase after the unconditional love of the world over and over again. We leave the unconditional love of the Father, naively thinking that we will somehow discover a greater love for ourselves in this world. We are the young son every time that we search for unconditional love apart from the Father. Girls, boys, old men, old women, young women. The far country never, ever satisfies our soul. Only the unconditional love of the Father satisfies. Do you believe that? The Son in the mud, in the mire, decides, I will arise and go to my Father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. In the pig pen, the younger son recognizes how far he's fallen. In the pig pen, he realizes he has sinned. Against whom? God first, and Father second. He did not honor his Father. He did not fulfill that 10th commandment, right? That number 4, 5. He didn't do it. And by not doing it, he didn't honor God. And he certainly did not respect and honor his Father. There was no love in any of what he did. And so he comes up with a plan to fix his situation. He will become a hired servant of his Father. At least a servant is able to live. But although he understands how to take care of his empty belly, he still hasn't figured out to take care of the emptiness within his soul. He's still chasing conditional love. He was chasing it with the people of the far country. Now he's chasing conditional love with his Father. Father, I'll come back and I'll work for you. He's told himself he's no good. He's told himself he must work harder. In order to be loved, he must perform. And so his plan is to turn back to the Father and bargain with him. He'll return, but he'll work for his place. He'll return, but he will no longer have a right to be called son. He will take care of his mistake. He will take care of his offense. He will work to remedy the conflict between the two of them. And this, church, is the same game that you and I engage in all the time with God. We are the younger son. We think that we can mediate, reconcile this conflict between God by going back to him. We think that we can get his love by just working harder. Don't we? We screw up, we sin, we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, and what's our response? We distance ourselves from God, we have a pity party for a while, and then we creep back to him basically trying to earn his love again. We are the younger son. We think we can earn his love back. We think that we can just work a little bit harder and get ourselves back into his good graces. But what is grace? The Father's grace isn't based upon our works. The Father's grace is based upon his unconditional love for us. That's what grace is. All of our hard work to earn the Father's love never satisfies our soul. Only the unconditional love of the Father satisfies. And so he rose, came to his Father, but while he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. While he was still a long way off, the Father was waiting for him. The Father's eyes were on the horizon to see the Son. He ran and he embraced him. Maybe there's a footnote there. It actually says he ran, tackled him, and kissed his neck. It wasn't a, hey, son. And the son said to him, Father, see, he has a plan. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. can't even get the rest out of his mouth. Remember his plan. I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to make it right. Can't even get it out of his mouth before the father says to the servants, bring quickly the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it because we're going to celebrate tonight. The father's response to the younger son is love, unconditional love. There's no bargaining. There's no agreement that's made. There's nothing that the father tells the son that he has to do. The father has already determined his love for the son. Bring quickly the best robe. Not just some clothes. You know, in this picture, you see a tattered young son. He's got, you know, holes, all frayed clothes. No, it's not just clothes. Bring him the robe, because robe conveyed majesty, belonging in the household. Put a ring on his finger, right? A signet ring, right? You put it in the wax. You seal the envelope with it. It was a sign of authority in the household as well. Put sandals on his feet. You guys, slaves wore no shoes. And think about the extent to which this guy had fallen. He has no shoes. He's traveled from the far country back home, and he's got no shoes on. Father says, no, you will not be a hired hand. You will not be a slave. Put shoes on him and bring the fatted calf. Which, contrary to our American, you know, fondness for meat, back then, they didn't have a whole lot of meat. And this was a big deal to go slay the fatted calf, and we're going to have meat tonight and party. Why? Because this, my son. Don't you want to hear God the Father say, my son, my daughter? This, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Jesus begins this parable with the words, there were how many sons? Two. There was a man who had two sons. There are two sons involved in this parable. We'll talk about the second one next week. But each son has his own baggage. What connects the two together, though, is the father. See, we want to look at this passage. We want to say, oh, it's about the son, or it's about that son. As we get older, oh, it's about the older son. But no, this is about the father and his unconditional love for his children. Our central truth this morning, God, the Father's love for his children is infinite and eternal. We can bank on that. We can put our trust in that. We will always be satisfied when we put our trust in Christ. How is this possible? How could the Father love you and I so unconditionally? It is because of Christ. See, the story has two sons, right? But there's always the third son. He's just lingering out there, the one who's actually telling the story. The third son, the real son, Jesus Christ. The true Son of God. The selfless Son of God. The loving Son of God. The obedient Son of God. All of this unconditional love that is afforded to us in the Father has been given to us through Christ. John 1:12, he says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to what? Become children of God. See, there's the one Son, there's Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his what? Only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's one Son, and it was because of the work of that one Son that all of us get the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's His work through which we receive the unconditional love of the Father. It's only by His work, the obedient Son, the loving Son, the respectful Son. You and I can't do it. We screw up all the time. We fail constantly. And so what is this parable? It is a story of the infinite and eternal love that the Father has for us because of the work of Christ. This morning, my question is, we are constantly acting like the younger son. will we this morning be the younger son? And will we repent? Will we acknowledge that we've been living in the pig pen? Will we acknowledge that we've been listening to the voices of the far country, this world? Listening to the lies of the far country, our heart has been longing for the lies of the far country, and we've been chasing after those lies. This morning, what have you been chasing? What has your deceitful heart been longing for most? And what has it been left, leaving you empty with? Career? Where are you finding your identity? Where are you seeking and trying to find that identity? And what this group of people says, what that particular person says, some of us are still working off issues from our parents, listening to the far-off voices. Will you recognize that you've been chasing lies? Will you recognize that you've been living in the pig pen and it's not satisfying? Will you step forward into faith this morning? And into the arms of the loving Father. Maybe you've been looking for that love somewhere else. I don't know. But the last thing here is, if this story is not necessarily about the younger son, and if it's not necessarily about the older son, then who is it about? It's about the Father. It's a demonstration of the Father's unconditional love for each of us. The third thing I want to ask you to reflect upon is, are you demonstrating the love of the Father to anyone? Who in your life is seeing the Father's love flow out of you? We exist to love, to follow, and to share Jesus so that others come to love, follow, and share Jesus. Have we even thought about the outside world lately? Not just chasing after celebrity status, but chasing after people who are lost. This morning, will you put your faith in Christ? Will you put your faith in the gospel? Because nothing else satisfies. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We praise you. Lord, we just come before you. I come before you on behalf of your people, asking that you would help us to see. That you would help us to see how we have been chasing after the far country. Lord, that you would reveal to us how our hearts deceive us, what areas of our lives that our hearts are deceiving us in. And Lord, that you would lead us to repentance. Lord, that you would lead us to see that you love us deeply. Lord, that you love us infinitely and eternally. That there's nothing that we can do to lose that love. There's nothing that we can do to earn more of your love. That your love has fully been lavished upon us because of Jesus' work on the cross and in his resurrection. Help us to trust in that today, in our relationships with our wives, our husbands, our children, our bosses, our neighbors, our parents. Lord, help us to trust in the gospel this morning. And may you be glorified. May we see your arms stretched out wide, not just for us, but for all the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.